Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I have some very, very sad news to report today. Dick Gregory, the 84-year-old comedian, found humor in the civil rights struggle, have died. Dick Gregory, the pioneer black artist who transformed cool humor into a barbed force for civil rights in the 60s. Dick Gregory was somebody special. Dick Gregory's son, the Christian Gregory, who announced his death on social media, said more details will be released in the coming days. Mr. Gregory had been admitted to a hospital on August the 12th, his son said, in an earlier Facebook post. Early in his career, Dick Gregory insisted interviews that first order of business on stage was to get laughed, not to change how white America treated black folks. Humor can no more find a solution to race problems than it can cure cancer, he said. Nevertheless, as the civil rights movement was kicked into high gear, whites who caught his club act and listened to his routine on record came away with a deep feel for the nation's shameful, racist history. Mr. Gregory was a breakthrough performance in his appeal to whites. A black club on the so-called chilling circuit. Though he clearly seeked over the repression of black, he resorted to neither scolding nor lecturing. We're playing a big-time room like the Hunger in San Francisco or the Village Gate in New York. Rather, he won audience over the years, very outspoken about the country's racist charm. He would plant himself on a stool, the picture of conscience, in a three-button suit, dark tie, dragging slowly on a cigarette, which he used as a punctuation mark. From that perch, he would bid America to look in the mirror and to laugh at itself. He said, segregation is not all bad, he would say. Have you ever heard of a collision where the people in the back of the bus got hurt? Have you? Or you know the definition of a Southern moderate? That's a cat that lynched you from a lower tree. Or have you got a lot of black astronauts saving them from the first space flight to the sun? Some of that became classes, like one about the restaurant waitress in the segregated South who told him, we don't serve colored people here. To which Dick Gregory replied, that's all right, I don't eat colored people. Just bring me a whole fried chicken. Lunch Town City and Central in the early civil rights movement protest. Did not always work out as planned. He sat at a lunch counter for nine months, he said, when they finally integrated, they didn't have what I wanted. Dick Gregory was a national sensation in the early 60s, earning thousands of dollars from the club dates and from records like Living Black and White, said Dick Gregory Talk Turkey. He wrote the first of his dozen books, Time Magazine, Powerful, then ran a profile of him, Jack Parr, the only Tonight Show host. They had him on as a guest after Dick Gregory demanded that he invite him to sit for a chat. Until then, the black performer did their number. Then he had to leave. Time on Parr's sofa was a sign of he had arrived. We're talking about Dick Gregory, the famous comedian who died at the age of 84. He was somebody special. We love him. And we're going to miss him. I didn't anticipate that he would die at this early age of 84. I just believe that this man was somebody special. And I had the opportunity to see him in Chicago many, many, many years ago. And I just love him. I just love him being a comedian. I just love him as a person. I just love what he do. And I must confess, I am very, very, very saddened today to find out that Dick Gregory actually died. And he will be missed. He will be missed. So those of you around the country, take a moment of silence for Dick Gregory. We're going to take about 30 seconds in honor of Dick Gregory. No talking, no walking, just 30 seconds of silence, starting now. All right, 30 seconds for Dick Gregory, who passed away at the age of 84. So let's move on. I want to talk about my good friend, Colin Kaepernick. It said on yesterday in New York City, a dozen of the current retired officers from the New York Police Department rallied on Saturday morning in support of Colin Kaepernick, the former San Francisco 49er, revealed for refusing to stand during the national anthem. The gathering, Brooklyn Bridge Park, was organized by Sergeant Edward Raymond, who attended by other officers who wore black T-shirts. Frank Seppo, a former officer who exposed corruption in the New York Police Department in the 70s, attended. Serpio, you might remember that movie, but the guy who asked me what that movie was based on was there. Speaker includes City Councilman Jawan D. Williams, Democrat of Brooklyn, linked the backlash against Kaepernick yesterday. No team has signed a quarterback for this season. He's been blackballed. To the violence last week during a white nationalist march in Charlottesville, Virginia, and more generally to the issue of police accountability. Kaepernick stopped standing for the anthem last week, saying he was protesting violence against minorities, particularly by the police. Sergeant Raymond said of Kaepernick, in 2015, he joined 11 other officers in filing a class action lawsuit against the police department for policing practices that they said discriminated against minority communities. The rally coincided with a wave of mostly peaceful demonstrators in Boston and other cities on Saturday, with protesters addressed the white supremacy, Confederate statue, and the free speech. Sergeant Raymond said in an interview late on Saturday that he had been planning the rally before the crash in Charlottesville, but the violence made especially clear the need to address racism in the United States of America. And those who are out there who do not believe that racism exists, you're in denial. You are in denial. The rally was being held by police officers, was sent a loud message, Sergeant Raymond said, because a frequent criticism of Kaepernick has been that his protest was affronted to a law enforcement. They said he disrespected law enforcement. Sergeant Raymond said, well, I'm law enforcement, and he did not disrespect me. At the rally, William praised the office for risking their lives to protect public. He drew last year when he refused to stand during the Pledge of Allegiance during the city council meet. People used the term anti-police and unpatriotic to scare people from stepping forward. But he said later in the interview, it takes courage to say, I ain't going to do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. I am also boycotting the National Football League. I will not watch another football game from the National Football League. I watch college football, but not the National Football League until he gets a job. We need to stop this racism. We need to stop it, and we need to stop it now. Let me move on to my next caller. 316, you're on the air. Talk to me. Hello.
Okay. Hello. How are you, Reverend Pinkney?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I didn't expect to be unmuted so quickly, but I just wanted to inform your listeners that I'm one of the many women who are being electronically harassed and targeted through this racist program, and we've been able to piece together that a lot of this has to do with disenfranchisement of people trying to steal their property and homes. I know of 7 women myself that are fighting to keep their homes, and it seems like that these racists have plans to, they're either trying to get us to certain demographics so that they can do a genocide or try to get people locked up to where they can perform all types of different experiments and harmful things to especially people of color.
So. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And one of the things that, you know, we need to do, we need to bust this stuff out. Tell us some of the things that's going on with you. Talk to me about you.
Well, I became noticed that I was involved in this program probably about 10 years ago, 2007. It started with a severe gang stalking. I was being followed everywhere that I go. I'm a single mother of a disabled child. I haven't done anything against the law. And over the last 2 years, I've been highly isolated and chemically and electronically harassed in my apartment daily. And I found some organizations online that, and I find many people are going through the same thing, and it's highly represented by women of color that are going through this, about 80%, but we're not represented in the organizations that are supposed to be fighting against this this crime for us. We have a very small voice, and we're just trying to get this information out there so that people will know, because it can happen to anyone at any time, and we can't just sit around and, you know, this is serious. I mean, these people are not playing around. It's very aggressive, and as many as they can catch unaware, that's who they're going to grab up. It can happen to anyone, and they're hoping to do it to us all, and they're hoping that someone like Reverend Pinkney would not have a show and reveal this so that they can do it to more and more people, and it's millions, and this is not just worldwide. It is, nationwide. This is worldwide.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, you're exactly correct. And they have people so intimidated that they literally refuse to talk about being targeted. And we went to Washington. I took a group of targeted individuals to Washington. I believe that was in 2014, if I'm correct. I could be wrong about the year, but I took a group to Washington to expose them. And one of the things that I know some of the elected officials down there personally, like people like Danny Davis, he was one of the sponsors of my baseball team, and you have Bobby Rush, another Chicago guy, and you have John Conyers, John Conyers, I know that he's senile right now. He probably don't remember who he is, but my point is that we have to get people moving and get people talking about it, so saying what is going on, because the average person will say, well, if they claim they're TI, they got to be nuts. Why would the governor do something like that? Well, that's because they don't understand who the governor is. They don't understand what's going on with the government. They don't understand these things because, believe me, this government will do anything. This government will do, they will kill you, you know, if they, because everybody's expendable. This is one of the things that we don't know, that everybody, even the president, he's expendable, you know. These people is ruthless, you know. They don't care nothing about me. They don't care nothing about you. But the point is, we have to expose them while we're still able to do so. And I appreciate you for coming on. At least telling us you're being a TI. I know that you're a friend of Amy's and everything, and I've been working with Amy for maybe 5-6 years. And but my goal is to get my TI family back together. It's probably maybe a 500,000 of them that I know of. But we got to bring it. We got to bring it to the surface, and we got to do it in numbers, because there's strength in numbers. I don't care what they say and what they do. There's strength in numbers. Just remember that. And
exactly.
Here's another thing. You could be walking down the street, and another TI may attack you. Because one of the things they do, they keep the TIs fighting among themselves. So that's one mm-hmm. thing you have to avoid. That's one of the things I did not like about the TIs. They was always fighting with each other, and I couldn't stand it, you know, because we got a problem. We need to work on that problem, and we need to deal with that like never before. But the key is, let's stay focused and do what needs to be done, because I know that that they're out there, and they're out there watching. Like never before. They are there, believe me. Whether you want to believe it or not, they are actually there. And what we have to do, we have to work on things that they're also doing to you. So tell me some of the things that you have experienced since being a TI.
Well, the main issue is that people don't know, and that's why I'm so grateful for your call, because we need help. Like you said, the main point is that they isolate you, and that is the way that they can take away your power, get you alone, and do all these strange things, strange evil things that only people with this type of mind would do to another person. And so it's just like you said, we need to bring people together because, you know, they keep us arguing and going at each other, and all this chaos that's going on even outside of the targeted world, it involves these people using their chemicals and their news to keep people at each other's throats. But we need people who are not targeted to recognize what is going on when they see people in their community who are isolated and run down, and they seem like they're an innocent and a person who hasn't caused any harm to society. You need to rally around that person and help them, because they're just picking us off one by one. Some people just watch and say, oh, well, they're alone and they're struggling by themselves. You will be the next person who's alone and by yourself. All these homeless people that you see out here, the majority of them are targeted. They've been run from their homes because they want people of color to be disenfranchised. This is a whole new system, a more violent system of Jim Crow laws, and it's far more surreptitious or underground, so that you won't even know that your death is coming right at you. You just don't see it. So it's just a far more slick way of doing Jim Crow. So we need people who are not targeted to recognize, get online, look it up, study it, research it, and find out who are they victimizing and how you can help, and to insulate these people who are being completely isolated in their homes and apartments and wherever they are, just harassed, so that these people behind machines and all in their cars can just follow them, harass them, and cause them all types of harm, ruin their reputations, keep them from working. And that's why I think they say in the colored community, or people of colored community, there's like 50-something percent who are unemployed. There's a reason for that. It's not that we won't work. It's that we can't work because they're keeping us from having jobs. That is this program here. It just comes upon you slowly, just like that. So they're working in every arena to keep us poor, homeless, jobless, in homeless places, in insane asylums. All of this program is contributing to it. That's where it comes from, one place.
You know what? That's amazing too. And here's another thing you have to be aware of too. They will go to your neighbor and tell them things about you that they know is not true. But usually the neighbor, one thing about us as African Americans, we always want to listen. If a white man come to our home and want to talk, we always want to listen to them. And they will listen, then they'll spread things around about you that you didn't even have a clue about. So, you know, you're
correct.
Dealing with a situation, even among ourselves, we have to get smarter. You know, we have to get better. We have to start thinking about not just for today, but for tomorrow. And we got to do it as a group. Unity. There's nothing more important than unity. And usually, like I tell TIs that I deal with, it's not important whether you like me or not. That's not even important to me. I don't care nothing about that. That's the last thing that I think of. And here's the thing that's important. I don't do things for money. I do things because it's the right thing to do. And and that's how that way you can't be bought and sold. You know, there's so many black people, when you become materialistic, the first thing they do, they want to attack your weakness. And usually money separate us, because we want to have more materialistic things than anybody else. We want to have more materialistic things than anybody else. But unfortunately, that doesn't, you know, that's not really important to me. What's important is the people and what we stand for. We have to move this thing to a whole different level. We have to show the people who we are, because to me, if you could prove to these people that you can't be boss and soul, then they will, you know, that somehow they have to find another tool to use against you. So one of the things that I like to do, especially in your situation, just keep you educated on some of the things that is happening and how to deal with it when it do happen. Because believe me, it's out there targeting everybody that they can use regardless of what the situation might be, using different avenues to attract you to the setup, because that's what they want to do. They want to set you up, control you, keep you doing what you don't want to do, and take it from there. But I know it's important to you and to your family, but you got to stand together. There's a lot of y'all, and when you start getting with these little groups out there, don't let them little groups get next to you, because they'll start rumors about you that you don't know nothing about. And believe me, they will. Whether you like it or not, they're going to do that. That's going to happen. So you have to make sure that you're doing what you need to do. Make sure that you're doing all the things that need to be done, and just keep it moving, because that's crucial. We have to learn to keep stuff moving, and whether we like it or not. So I know some of your issues, but take care of the family. Take care of your children. And stay focused, and those young ladies that they're trying to take their home, I would love to talk to them. I like for them to come on the show and talk about what we can do to help them more than anything else. We're not going to sit here and gloat over them losing their house. We don't want them to do that, but we got to find a solution to that problem. And to me, that's important, especially the way things going now. You got the government itself is about as racist as you can get, but we got to keep moving. We got to stay forward, because they're trying to kill us all. It's not just you. You know, they got a plan. They're executing the plan. And we'll see. We got to make sure that we be on guard against these people. These people are something else. But listen, you got a couple of minutes to go on and say whatever your heart desire, and I got to move on. But I just want you to know that I appreciate you, and I want you to, you know, tell those young ladies, the one about to lose their house, that I said, call me and give them my number, would you please? And also, tell me, you got 2 minutes to tell me, tell all the listening audience, and we got a large listening audience today, so tell this audience what you want them to know.
Okay, thank you very much, sir, and I will have those ladies call you this week. The main thing that I want everyone to understand is that they are trying to infiltrate every area. They have taken over many churches. I hear that the city of Seattle, Washington, is completely taken over with this type of crime. And what I want to tell you is that the people who are doing this, they give the impression of authority. They have fake files, fake agents going around with IDs, convincing people of horrible stories and rumors about people. And I just want to tell you right now, they have the power, the white power, to do these things, but they do not have the proper authority. What they're doing is criminal and illegal. And just because someone comes to you with the guise of authority, you do not have to take what they say as the truth. You have to research people for yourself, because the main issue is that they isolate you from every person in your neighborhood who can offer you any help. They turn people of color against people of color. Why? They're causing all of this. And so you just have to be on guard in who you listen to, and check everything that you hear, and don't be so quick to jump on a bandwagon of drama against some person, especially if they've done you no harm, and number two, there's no proof. There's a lady who I'm speaking to, a lady of color. They're telling people that she was a in some sex movies or something, and she's never done anything like that. These are the type of things, the same tactics they used during the Civil War with, like, Annie Moody. They spread rumors about her and her reputation and tried to isolate her from the community. They're using the same tactics. So just be careful about how we treat each other, and in order to survive, this is life or death, we're going to have to come together, get over our petty disputes about this or that, and worry about saving our lives for our children, for our jobs, for everything. We'll have nothing if we allow these people to do it, because it's coming, and it's coming quickly. They're very aggressive. So get on your guard and work together to stop this. Thank you very much, Reverend Pinckney.
And thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And people need to know, you know, because we're at the stage now where we got to start caring about each other. It don't make a difference whether you're black, white, brown, red, yellow, or whatever color you want to be. I don't care what color you want to be. You can want to be purple. You know, we still have to stand together and have strength in numbers, and we have to show them who we are. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you. And let's talk during the week. Give me a call and let's talk, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Listen, you have a very, very nice day, and thank you so much for calling in, because people need to know. That's what it's all about. Listen, let me bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. My girl. When I say my girl, I say my girl. It's going down. That's all I can say. My good friend, Belinda. Belinda, are you there? Belinda, are you there? Belinda, are you there? Belinda. Oh, well, let me move on to my good friend, Ken.
Me?
Ken, are you
there?
How
you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I got on a little late today, but how's everything going with you?
Oh, everything is going wonderful, Ken. I tell you, I've been rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, trying to make things happen. That's all I can do. You know,
I know one thing, Reverend Pinckney, if we don't all come together, because the blacks can't win this by themselves, and the whites can't win it, and the Mexicans, we all got to come together and show them that we're not going to allow them to do what they're doing, because they're still
absolutely
doing it, and they're doing it real fast.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you said the magic word, they're still doing it, which is so amazing, and they're going to continue to do it, Ken, because this is what they do. Divide and conquer, you know, and they got the Mexicans fighting against the blacks fighting against the Mexicans, whites fighting against the blacks and the Mexicans, the Puerto Rican fighting against the Mexicans. They got it all organized now and making people do things that they have never done before. But we're right there where we need to be. We're there, you know. But we got to stay focused, you know. We got to do the things that need to be done, and make sure we're doing all the things that need to be done, because there's nothing more important than everybody doing what should be done, because we don't do it, Ken. We don't, you know, we don't. A lot of times, people don't stand up for things unless it affects them directly. They won't do nothing, you know. They sit around and do nothing, then when all hell breaks loose, then they'd be wishing they had done something. And this is the nation that we live in today, Ken, so we got to do what we need to do and make sure that, you know, we're staying focused and doing what needs to be done.
Absolutely, because if we don't do something now, we ain't going to be able to do it later, Reverend Pinckney, because when they come down, I mean, they're coming down, and most people don't understand it, all this stuff that George Soros is funding all these. He's funding the black people. He'll fund the white people. He'll fund anybody he can to get them to go against each other. So, you know, we need to watch out for that. We need to use our own
brains. But it ain't just him. It's all of them. You got the Koch brothers and everybody else. all these people are doing, because as long as they're keeping everybody fighting with them and supplying funds to certain groups to keep them active and to get the word out there, and that's what they do. They, you know, and that's what the rich do. The rich, you know, for money, any kind that you could be bought and sold for a few dollars, then this is what you will get, what you got now. You see,
right?
And what we got now, we got hell right here on earth, because I really don't see it getting any better. I see now different groups of people rising up, and this is what they want. They want these people to be against the white supremacists and the neo Nazis and everything like that. And look, they got the, you know, I don't care nothing about Robert E. Lee statue. I don't care nothing about Stonewall Jackson statue. I don't care nothing about the Confederate flag. I don't care nothing about the Confederate symbols. To me, it doesn't make any difference, because if I'm going to protest those items, I need to protest the American flag, because black people have caught just as much hell under the American flag as they have caught under the Confederacy flag. So I don't think that's a fight. I think it should be removed, though. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think that's a fight. That, you know, we got a bigger fight. That's what we don't understand. We have a bigger fight, Ken, than some statue or stuff like that. We got people starving in this country. I mean, people who and they use the term, oh, people don't want to work. No, they don't want to work because you won't give them a job. They can't get a job. And this is what they going by right now. We got to change the way we do business. We got to change the way we're doing things, Ken. We got to move this thing to a whole different level, because I see something happening. I see how things are turning. And I see how people are being undressed. And I see all this. But I'm trying to stay focused, Ken. But look, after saying all this, how's Pete Santelli doing? Tell me about him.
I guess he's doing all right, Reverend Pinkney. I talked to you last week. I testified in the trial. Five of us, they said we didn't need to come down and we could testify over Skype and just show you how bad our court systems are. The jury didn't even get to hear my testimony. They didn't get to hear anybody's testimony for the defense. They only got to hear one defendant. She let testify. The other defendant, she let him testify, and he started saying stuff she didn't like. So she told the jury, forget everything he said, that wasn't evidence, and wouldn't even let his be heard. So they had one defendant testify for all of them in the whole trial. So the jury's out, so we'll see what they do.
The jury is still out?
The jury's, they're out. So I don't know if the
How long have they been out?
Since last Thursday.
Okay.
They went out Thursday, Friday. They don't have court. I don't understand, because she's got the jury where they can't talk to anybody. I guess they're staying in hotel rooms. So they got to sit there for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with nothing to do when they could be working on the case.
Right. So, and tell me a little bit about that judge.
Oh, this judge is, I've never seen anybody so evil as this judge. Judge Navarro, out of a federal judge out of Las Vegas. I mean, you can't even bring a defense in for yourself, and everybody says, well, that can't happen. They can't do that. Well, they do it. I remember Penny, I asked a lawyer, can they do that? He said, did they do it? I said, yeah, then they can do it.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want to do, because who's going to challenge them? That's why this thing is so messed up now. That's why the system is so messed up, you know, but you know what? This is what I always say, you know, they may think they're getting away with it. You don't live forever. You don't live forever. There was two guys that from the Barron County. You remember the two guys that got shot and killed doing all that? What happened at Barron County? it's such a corrupt court. God is trying to tell them something, you know, but they didn't get it, you know. They still don't get it. They doing everything they can to do. You have to stand up and do the right thing. You're living in a time where they don't do the right thing, Ken. And I'm you know, it's so embarrassing. It's almost ridiculous that, you know, that people have to go through these court systems and trying to look for an outlet. How do you fight corruption inside the system itself? You know, the person that oppressing you, which is the establishment, which operates a system that oppress you. How do you get around that? Well, what can you do? You see, this guy named Larry Gordon, the one who shot these guys, he said he'd rather die than go to trial in Barron County. You rather die? You mean you rather end your life than to go to trial, even though the trial might be corrupt? But it shouldn't be the end. You know, that's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be the end. If he's willing to go that far to say something like that, Ken, something got to be wrong, you know. But these people don't think they're doing nothing wrong. These judges, they're doing whatever they want to do. You know, I remember in Chicago, they was killing judges left and right, straightening them out, you know. But now, you know, it is what it is. People need to do things differently. We have to come together, stand together against this corruption, this racism, and whatever it is that's going on. We got to stand together, Ken. And I'm in 100% support of Pete Santelli. He's my man, and I wish I could do more for him. But unfortunately, I'm a little bit tied down myself. But I appreciate you going out there and dealing with it, willing to testify. Are you going to be testifying in his trial?
Well, they haven't asked me yet, so I really don't know. It depends if they're going to do it the same way they did this one. It does no good to testify.
Right.
The judge already knows. The prosecutor already knows what they've done. And even the defendants, they know they didn't do anything wrong, but yeah, we can't get any testimony into court, you know, so the jury can hear it and make a decision. I thought you had the worst trial I ever seen, and which I was up there four days of your trial, and I thought I'd never seen a trial like yours until I went down there, and they're even worse down there.
Yeah, absolutely. When they're in control, they do whatever they want to do. Foul ball.
Well, I think the reason it's got out of control is because we didn't stand up together. If everybody stood together and said, you're not going to do this, they wouldn't be doing this. But we're still all sitting around arguing about the blacks, the whites, the Mexicans, and everything. So, it's kind of sad to see where our country's going.
I got to confess, I believe you right on point, my brother. You are right there. You are saying something really valuable. And I honestly believe that, you know. I honestly do. Wow, it's been amazing. But look, Ken, you got about a couple of minutes to say whatever you want to. I got to bring in my friend, Belinda Brown. And if she's on the line this time, we'll bring her in. If not, we'll move on. But you got a couple of minutes to say whatever you
Well, hopefully everybody hadn't forgot about the target individuals, because this is another crime that's going on in our country. We got so many that it might take 10 days to sit down and talk about each one of them. So,
well, you know, one thing, Ken, you know, and just like you said about the target individuals, people should not even think about forgetting about target individuals, because that's something that's alive. And as well, and we have to come together. There's enough target individuals to stand up and fight these folks on a level they never thought that someone can fight. I'm more than happy to stand up with the target individuals. I'm more than happy to do what needs to be done, and we got to take this to a whole different level. But listen, I got to let you go. I will talk to you soon. I'm going to bring in my good friend Belinda Brown if she's on the line this time. If not, we'll move on. But I got to go, Ken.
Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right, all right. That's a beauty. Let me bring in my good friend, Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Pinckney. I'm enjoying the show. We got a lot going on in our government and across our country, Pastor Pinckney, and I'm telling you, it's getting to the point now where what you said, we got to come together.
Absolutely. It's not a doubt in my mind that, you know, that we have to do this. We are up against something. Our backs are up against the wall, and we don't realize it. You know, we keep fighting with each other. When you fight with each other, you dilute your own army, and that's what we're doing, diluting our army against these evil, wicked people. And you know, here's the sad part. These guys in the courtrooms and stuff like that, they going to take them out too. I mean, you know, they're not part of the elite. They're part of the working class. They don't even know that. All they doing is standing up and doing their dirty work, but their day is going to come too. It ain't, you know, they're nothing but work. These judges, these prosecutors, these lying judges, these corrupt judges, these corrupt prosecutors, corrupt and lying prosecutors and police officers that think when they kill people.
I said you don't want to leave out the attorneys, how they're in cahoots is what we call it, you know, you know, to help cover up the corruption, because they're working right along with the prosecutors, the judges, the clerk of courts, the DAs, you know, all of these people are in, you know, the sad part about that, you pay the attorney to represent you, and then he gets into collusion with the with the powers that be that is the work that's prosecuting you.
That's right. Hey, you said the magic word, and the thing is about it, Belinda, we got to come together. I think by me going to prison and stuff like that, and rallying the people, I think we may have built up an army. We got to have a real army to fight these people. These people are armed and they're dangerous. And we need to understand who we up against, what we up against, why we up against them, because it's there. They're picking people off one at a time, and it's a process how they do it. But we don't get it. But I'm so happy to hear about the success that you have had down there in Louisiana, and especially with those corrupt judges down there. But have you noticed something that's really amazing? How I got to get on black people, because black people don't do nothing unless it affects them directly. If they can't, get out there. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say, Pastor Pinckney, that, you know, here in Louisiana, we got some real heavy hitters down here. We got some people that is not going to back down to the powers that be. And, you know, brother Dr. Ron Caesar is one of them, and I've been trying to get him on your show for quite some time, because he is with one of the most powerful organizations right along with Louisiana United International down here in the state of Louisiana. You know, he's focusing on the entire state, but he's right out of Baton Rouge. And, you know, we just had that shooting of Austin Sterling there. You know, he has been on the front lines and one of the leaders that have spearheaded a lot of the movement and protests and different things that's been happening surrounding the death of Austin Sterling. And I was hoping that you can give him some time. I know he's listening in to the show today.
He's not listening in. He's not on the line. That you tell me that. And we put him on the, you know, we call him on the line. He's never there, and which is so amazing, because for the simple reason, I'll be glad if anybody who's a friend of yours is a friend of mine. But
I know how you are. I know how particular you are about people being able to get, you know, on time and be a part of the conversation from the beginning to the end. And I don't know what's going on with his number, but he's been telling me, you know, he's been listening in on the show. I don't know if his number's showing up, but, you know, they got this thing, Pastor Pickney, where they surveil our phones, okay, down here. I just got a call, and I just had to report it to the FBI where my phone was being surveilled, and my phone calls were coming in double. You know, I got other people, you know, but anyhow, I'm hoping that he is listening and that you do have the opportunity to get him on the show so that he can update you in regards to what's happening to him right now. We just filed a lawsuit in the federal courts here in Louisiana from them blocking him from not being able to run for the state Louisiana state treasurer. And this man is one of the most qualified, if not the most qualified person for this state treasurer's position. They took his name off the ballot without even giving him prior notice and following their own rules and regulations. I just want to let you know that the Voters Act is being attacked down here in the state of Louisiana, Pastor Pickney, when it comes to a black man running for any type of elected position. Okay, and I know those things have been happening across our country. You know, we have had few like John Lewis to speak out against the violations and the certain discriminations and stuff that's been happening with our voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're not going to back down. You know, when you did that recall petition against those corrupt elected officials there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and you know for a fact, Pastor Pickney, that is when the attack began against you, okay, was because you were successful in recalling those corrupt elected officials. Okay, that was selling out the people there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and we caught them firsthand in action, okay, with taking bribes and all types of deals in order for them to pad their seats with money, gifts, and all kinds of things. I think one of the commissioners was riding around in Mercedes Benz and, Whirlpool was buying them all of these elaborate and putting them up in these hotels and writing them checks and buying them new cars and trucks and all that kind of stuff was going on, okay, just so that they can get the vote, in their favor to steal the property, the land, whatever it was that they wanted to control or possess. You know, Whirlpool wanted them to twist the vote in their favor. But I just want to say this, Pastor Pickney. It starts with the people standing up and taking back their right to vote.
Absolutely. And just they know what they got to do. You got to get off your butt and do it. And we sit around here, and even the young folk, got the young folk listening to this rap music and it's destroying their minds because they don't know nothing else. They got to get out here and take care of the business. It's all about the future, and the future is getting dimmer and dimmer because they know exactly what they're doing. And here's another thing. I don't know how the schools are down there, but the schools here in Benton Harbor is disgraceful, and which you already know that. They got they got people here in Benton Harbor, which is it's a no-brainer, Belinda, because you take them all the way back to the roots, and they always tell me they don't have money to do this, you know, that we don't have money to do that. But look, if you took them all the way back to the root of the problem and start dealing with them on that level and start educating the parents along with, you know, just a night school, you know, after school program, something that that you can use, it would change the focus of the children on more on education, because right now, care whether you graduate or not, you know, you can graduate with a 1.0 grade point average. And, you know, and they act like, as long as you don't know nothing, as long as they keep you young and dumb, they happy, you know. They happy with the way things going. And I'm not. I'm very, very disappointed in the way that we are allowing our children to progress. And it, to me, it's going to get worse before it get better. One of the things I learned while I was in the prison system itself, I learned that if you have something to offer the young folks, you can pull them in. You can reel them in. And I think that's what we was at, Belinda. We was basically my goal, my number one project was to get these young folks moving and teach them. But we got to start teaching the young folks, because we're not doing enough of spinning our wheel. See, when we get rid of one prosecutor, they got another one waiting. You know, another corrupt prosecutor waiting. It's just a matter of time. That's why you said, you know, you made a good point. You got to get out and vote. You got to vote these folks out and keep the bad ones out. Even when he go bad, you got to get him out. You got to keep getting them out, because they will go bad. And we have to learn from that.
Right. Mm-hmm. We learn from that. We have to learn from that. But we also have to realize and understand that that is where the power lies. The power is in the vote.
Yep.
But in order for us to have the power of the vote, we have to unite. We have to unite, Pastor Pinckney, and come together so that we can pick our own elected officials, our own leaders, and that we can be a part of the decision-making process on our behalf, and we won't have people in these seats and running our government or running our Congress or our state representatives or whoever they may be, the mayor or whoever, you know, talking about, you know, making decisions for us and don't even know us, okay? So we need leaders like you, Pastor Pinckney. We need leaders like you to continue the work that you're doing, and I am so proud of you, and I can say that 100 times over and over again, that it's people like you that this world should really appreciate, that you have sacrificed, okay, to educate and expose, you know, the corrupt people and educate the people on the grassroots level about how corrupt these people really are and what their intentions are, okay? So, you know, when I say, Pastor Pinckney, that you, okay, came up under attack because you knew where the power lies. You knew that the power was in the vote. You knew that the power of the people is greater than any power, okay, that is up on this earth. And I ain't talking about in heaven, because we know that Jesus said he have all power, okay?
That's
but
right.
He have given us power over all the powers of the wicked, evil, you know, racist, you know, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, all of these people. We got power over them, okay? And we got power over these people that think that they can control and turn our country, flip it inside out, and then while we stand back and watch them do it. It shouldn't be happening on our watch, Pastor Pinckney, but it's because we're not united and we're not strong in numbers, strong enough in numbers, okay? And my clarion call to the listeners today is that they need to adhere to people like yourself, Pastor Pinckney. When you say we have to come together and unite, they need to be listening to that. They need to act on that. That's what they need to act on. And it don't take money. Like you said, it ain't about the money, okay?
That's
get
right.
Your mind off the money. It's about all of us coming together. If we all come together, we will have the money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what you're saying is so important. I was at the county commission meeting on Thursday, and this guy, Robert Woodley, W-O-O-L-E-Y, remember, he had stolen almost $1 million, but he was one of them. He was a county commissioner who for 7 years, and listen to this, 7 years, he wrote bad checks out of 3 different accounts. That means that at least for 7 years that he forged at least the minimum. Now listen to this. the minimum of 42 checks, a minimum. And look, here's the deal. He did his own audit. It's not funny, but you could tell he knew the game. He knew the game. Mm-hmm. He did an audit of all three accounts, and Ford's a legitimate company now, named as the person that did the audit, and they never charged him, even though they busted him. He was a man. He was a boy. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he was there at the Republican meeting when Sharon Tyler made the announcement that they had convicted me with no evidence, and they gave her a standing ovation. He was one of them, and Sheriff Bailey was also there and told him that Pinckney would be going to prison because we convicted him with no evidence, and he actually said those words, no evidence, and stuff like that. And he was there, and then look, check this out. Now he'll never be able to repay this money, never.
Never.
They caught him down in Michigan City, across state line. Guess what? Gambling at the casino.
Wow.
And and listen to this. And did nothing to him. Can you believe that? And did absolutely, because that was their friend. See, this is why people have to come together. You see, white folks sit up there and they knew all this was going on. They didn't say a mumbling word because he's one of them. It's all right for one of them to do this, but you bet not do it. So in return, I'm going to get a chance to talk about this probably for the next year, every Thursday, because I'm not going to let them forget it, Belinda. They're not going to forget it, and I'm not going to allow them to forget it, because you're dealing with bad people do bad things. But when you're one of them, you're able to get away with these things. So
I can just imagine that Pastor Pinckney, that's a part of their scheme. You know, he was scheming that money for all of them. You know, he just was the one that would put himself in the position to take the fall. But why would he have to fall when all of them was protecting him? You know, so that means that all of them got the money.
And
if he wrote that many checks, Pastor Pinckney, I guarantee you all of them was getting paid.
Yeah, and it probably was more than that 42, the way I look at it, over a 7-year period. But here even though they had a guy that was a young
that
lady
so
that was
dirty,
working
down
at the sheriff's department. Listen, she was working there. She stole $75,000. And they gave her, look, she got probation, got fired, but she got probation. But she stole $75,000 and don't have to pay it back.
Here's one other, I'm gonna
hit on this too. They have molested. Now 26 women have came forward and claimed, but it's gonna be over 50 because they've been doing it for the last 10 years. Sexually harassing women, torturing the women for sex, all for sex. They would make them dance naked in the elevator. So, but it's on video. See how stupid and how bold they are. They dance, got the girls dancing naked inside the elevator. It's being recorded by the TV stream. Look, nobody been arrested. There's no investigation going on. Only thing that's going on is a lawsuit. Belinda, I tell you, it's been amazing thing. But listen, we got about 2 minutes, Belinda, and I still didn't see his name, his phone number on the thing. But
we'll
let you call him, and then when he's on your line, then he'll be able to talk. We'll do it like that next time, because I'm not going to waste all my time looking for his number, and he's not there. I do that every week. And it's kind of like getting to me a little bit too. But I you got a couple of minutes, Belinda. Tell me what you want me to know.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, what I would like for the people to know is that you are you are the champion, you're the trailblazer that the world needs to see and know that, you know, you are for the people. And the people just need to listen now, because if it ever been a time in our country that we have to have leaders like you that's standing up and sacrificing all the things, you know, going to prison, you know, and like you say, you don't even care about the money. We know that it takes money to for a movement like this. You know, I just want the people to, out of the goodness and kindness of their heart, to continue to support you both financially, you know, with whatever resources that are available to them to help you in keeping this going, Pastor Pinckney. We cannot stop now. We're too far in, and the people are in such a greater need because there's so many people that are suffering and families that are being destroyed, you know, by this corrupt government system, especially when it comes to the criminal justice system.
That is sweet, Belinda. And my final word is that we are boycotting all the National Football League games. I will not watch one until Kaepernick get a contract. And that's my message to all the listeners. And I really want to thank all the people. I mean, we have a tremendous listening audience. Something just popped up on the board. It's, you know, letting me know that, you know, we're having a I mean, it's just a great day. I got to tell you, Belinda, this is tremendous. And I'm so excited about all the people. I just got back. I wasn't even on last week, and yet we got all these folks listening, willing to listen to me. I appreciate it, but my time has ran out. I can no longer hold this show, and I will talk to you all very soon. Next week, same time, same thing. Have a beautiful, beautiful week. Thank you all. Belinda, love you. Hang in there. Tell Carl and everybody I love them.
Hope to see you soon, Pastor.
All right, then. Y'all take care.